Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
The backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
DeSean Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
You play to win the game. And you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome back to another show here we have this week of True Degenerates, Your Average Joe Sports Show. I'm Mike Z, here with Chris. Chris, we haven't heard anything about Carson Wentz moving anywhere this week. What's going on?
Well, apparently the Wentz train hasn't come by yet, so I don't know. I mean, don't worry. I'm sure during this recording, we'll see. We'll hear the Wentz train come by. It boils down to one person and one person again, Mike. I'm going to give you three guesses. You're only going to need one. Tell me who that person is.
If I say his name three times, is he going to like show up behind me with his like ledger book as an accountant? If I say Howie Roseman three times, is he going to show up in the corner of my living room right now?
What's that fucking thing? We did as kids in the fucking bathroom with the fucking light off. What the fuck is that, dude?
Bloody Mary,
that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, don't say it again, Chris, or you're done. And I'll be hosting the rest of the show by myself when Chris says it one more time.
Harry Roseman.
Poof, he shows up. He shows up with a ledger book.
Yeah, get the fuck out of my house.
His balance sheet.
So considering we're $65 million over the cap, I don't think he's the right person to be having the balance sheet be in charge of the books there.
I think he enjoys that. I think it's like that, you know, like if you were like a doctor or an emergency surgeon and you were really bored and you just went out there and started shooting people in the legs and was like, hey, look, we got something to do.
I just thought of something. It's gone. Dude. I had something in my mind.
It's gone.
That's the story of my fucking life. My two brain cells. I think of something.
It's out of here. We got to get a Harry Callis. It's out of here for that one. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Like see, I can't talk ill will about the dead, but that. The people who wear his like the Callis jerseys at Philly game, I got a problem with.
I mean, okay, I get it. Like that year after, because especially it was like World Series year, and the players were wearing it. Nowadays, when you get it, it's like we get it, dude.
Yeah,
it's been 12 years.
Now listen, he was still probably the best. I guess commentator. Baseball commentator or
announcer.
Announcer thing, I think in the business, no doubt about it. But you know, the Harry the K's restaurant, the people wearing the jerseys, like,
well, Harry the K's was there when they
was
opened
there for, the, oh, was
the joint, yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm sorry. I will say this though, Citizens Bank Park, even though I'm not like entirely a Phillies fan, that's by far like probably one of the best stadiums, best ballparks in MLB. It's nice.
It's homey, you know.
It is homey. There really isn't a bad seat in the place, though.
No, and like I said, it's homey. Like you can miss an inning if that's what you choose to be. If you're not like someone that's always glued to their seat and glued to the game, and you want to go socialize, it's a perfect park to do that with Ashburn Alley.
Well, they closed down. What's the restaurant? Right, the bar that was right there.
McFadden's.
McFadden's, yeah, that's it. But apparently it's a beer garden, but I don't know if that beer garden actually happened or it's still there. It did,
but it just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, I don't know why McFadden's even closed. I mean, they had to make enough money during the baseball season to keep them afloat for the rest of the year, one would think.
Especially like in the beginning of the year and then like when we were good in the playoffs when it was cold. You know, people were hibernating in there.
Oh, yeah. Getting the beer warmth up, man.
That's it.
I went in there once. I went there when the Phillies sucked because, you know, I got free tickets, you know, for you know from who. And I went in there. I mean, it was I got a couple drinks. Actually, believe it or not, it was the I can't speak tonight. It was the fine gentleman we had on a couple episodes ago. I ran into his mother-in-law who was sitting next to me, and we went to McFadden's for beers. So that was actually a halfway decent time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome, man. But the baseball, though, what is – that starts up this week, I think.
Pitchers. We were 1 week away. What was it, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, under a week now. Yeah. Under a week. And actually, it came out today. Today is Friday. Could we record on Fridays?
Friday February
12th. That they're allowing fans at spring training. I can't remember how many. It's like 30% or some shit like that, I think, down there. So 30%. But hey, fans will be in the stands for spring training this year. That's a huge win.
And they were there last year until it was shut down. Yeah, and I get it. It is outside and it is in Florida where COVID doesn't exist, apparently. Anyway.
It's a step in the right direction. We got people in the stands, vaccines are out. You know, I know New Jersey just recently up their indoor dining capacity to 35%. So hey, we're trending upwards, folks. We're winning the battle.
Doing a great job. Doing a hell of a job. But back to the Howie balance sheet standing in the living room when you say his name three times. I know you're the guy who was caught up on the rumors today. If you want to spill those out with the offers.
So everyone that's been following this, we're going to call it the Wentz saga or Wentz watch, Wentz saga, the saga of Wentz.
And the watch.
Yeah. The watchman. But anyway, so apparently Ron Jaworski came on interview yesterday, I believe with ABC. Was it ABC? I want to say yes. It was ABC saying that right now the Colts have the best offer of 2 second-round picks and a third or fourth down the line. Okay. Everyone knows around the NFL, every general manager knows absolutely Wentz cannot be back next year. Everyone knows that. So the asking price for Wentz tanked harder than the 2008 stock market during that recession. Like it just went boom, plat. Because everyone knows he can't come back. So, whatever. I mean, listen, the Colts are, we've been saying it for weeks now that the Colts are going to be the primary target because of Frank Reich. And now, was D Flip over there? No, he went to Jackson. All right, whatever. I don't fucking know where he went. The Lions. But I'm sorry. I was thinking of the special teams coach. My mind's all over the place right now. But anyway, so that's the likely landing spot. But apparently, I can't find the article, but Howie Roseman declined the Bears trade for swapping number ones, Nick Foles, Cohen, and I think a handful of picks down the line, like a second, a third, a fourth.
Were they swapping ones, or were they just getting the Bears one?
I think, maybe they're just getting the Bears one. I can't remember. It's out there. You search Wentz trade on Google, and it comes up. Bears are impatient. So there you go. That's how you get it. But I mean, it's just everyone. There was actually an article that how we are the laughing stock of the NFL, just how bad Howie Roseman is. If Howie Roseman really thinks that all the articles say it, that they want a Jared Goff-type trade for Carson Wentz, that he's actually going to get that, he should be kicked out and blacklisted of the NFL. You can't be that stupid. You absolutely cannot be that stupid. The entire league knows that he can't come back because of the drafting of the Hurts pick. The internal thing. You had Alshon running his mouth to Jacina Anderson. Apparently he's coming back. Fucking A. That's nice. Everyone knows he can't come back. So now, honestly, dude, if we even get a third round pick for him, I'll be happy.
I think they'll get more, but if that is true, what they turned down from the Bears, I don't think they come close to getting that.
No. I mean, listen, you can't have Nick Foles back with Jalen Hurts. You can't, because then you have the same thing what did happen with Wentz will happen to Jalen Hurts. Like, yo, put Foles in the game. What the fuck are you doing? You know, with the South Philly accent. Foles.
Here's something also to think about. I don't want to like completely blow up this Carson Wentz Howie Roseman talk right now. But I mean, there's been a hot rumor out there that, like, after Russell Wilson went on the radio show or podcast or whatever he was on and said how frustrated he was in Seattle with getting hit a million times, there's been a lot of rumors where, like,
oh, I think I read this, or at least I think. But listen, so okay. Since you brought it up here, this is actually a very, I'm happy you brought this up. So Russell Wilson, I remember a couple years ago where I guess whoever was calling the game, it would have been Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, saying that Russell Wilson should hold out because how bad the offensive line was, like, because he's getting hit nonstop and he's been hit his entire career. But did the same thing happen with Carson Wentz and we're calling him a baby? Like, how bad the offensive line was? I'm pretty sure we said NFL record for different offensive line configurations and how bad his weapons was. I mean, granted, what Wilson had weapons in Seattle, Wentz had nothing. But it's, isn't it kind of similar? Isn't it? I mean, granted, Russell Wilson actually won something and he should have won the second one.
I don't know if it's like completely similar, or if it's more or less like Seattle was basically built to win. The Eagles really weren't, and we kind of had that feeling, but still wanted to believe, like, yeah, we're the best team in the division. We're walking into the playoffs.
Ah, dude, this fucking division. I mean, I heard an interesting point as well, how we overvalue players, like how we overvalue Jason Peters, how we overvalued who the fuck was it? Any Philadelphia player. I name one. You know, that's just how we are as fans. But, I mean, listen, I got actually laughed off Facebook, you know, about, because I said beginning of last year's season, we'll be lucky to go 8-8. We don't have a good roster. We don't. And I don't think Doug could have fixed that this year. Granted, his play calling was fucking terrible. I don't think anyone could have fixed our outcome this year. Or last year, because of how bad this roster actually was. But then again, we overvalued it. Like, you know, the front four, the pressure. There wasn't that much pressure this year. I mean, Fletcher Cox was all right. Malik Jackson, Bennett, I mean, BG was the only one that showed up in Slay. I mean, that's it that I can think of on defensive side. I mean, you like Skeletor. But, I mean, I call him Captain Play Action because he bites on fucking everything. I mean, offensive side of the ball, you had, you know, Miles Sanders, fumble problem, doesn't get the ball. You had, towards the end of the season, Jalen Hurts, Captain Mr. Fumbles, Butterfingers. I mean, it's just not a good roster. It's not. You can't say it is. Even if Wentz would have came out and played like 2017, we still will only have 8 wins. Granted, that's a playoff spot, how bad our division is. But that's it. 8 wins. You can't say it would be more than that.
No. I don't.
I had to take a sip after that one. My Tito's. And I'm not drinking beer tonight. I'm I feel kind of weird drinking Tito's and Diet Pepsi. It's not the same. I feel a little off. I feel a little off-kiltered right now. But it's just the Flyers. Are we overvaluing the Flyers right now? Granted, we really shouldn't talk about the Flyers because of the COVID. They're kind of postponed until probably next week. So really, we shouldn't really dive deep into the Flyers. But they're kind of not impressing me that much this year. I mean, they did the first couple games. But now it's like, I don't know. I mean, well, are they a playoff team? Like, I don't know anymore.
They're a playoff team. And like I said after the last one, like, they have to get guys back. And, I mean, we saw what happened after they got Couturier back. They get Couturier back for one game. What, they score, like, 6 goals against Washington?
Was that the game where they were going back and forth? I think Hart was in goal, and they came back, yeah, but they went 6-4?
Yeah. Okay, Hart hasn't played his best hockey yet, but it has been out there that he's been a little bit banged up. So, I mean, like, as far as it sucks that this COVID thing popped up with the team and they're not really, like, they're not practicing or playing for at least like 10 to 14 days might honestly be a blessing in disguise.
It is. Totally agree with that.
They can kind of get healthy And it's not like they were the hottest team in the NHL. They were barely getting by against teams like the Devils and the Islanders, and can't beat the Bruins and blowing leads against the Bruins. And so, their first game back may actually be the Bruins next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Because I know tomorrow's game against the Rangers, or Sunday's game against the Rangers, was postponed due to COVID. Yes.
What the hell was I going to say here, Mike? I can't believe I'm actually going to defend the Flyers. And I might have to walk away from the mic and get some more vodka to rinse my fucking mouth out. Dude, when you don't have defense and you're putting, I think the Flyers are one of the last teams in the league when it comes to actually like giving up shots or some shit like that. I was reading. That's, your goalie's going to fail 9 times out of 10. So Hart is just, okay, he's banged up. Even if he was 100% healthy, when you don't have any defense, you're not gonna win. you're not. There's nothing you can do about it.
I mean, it's still early in the season. I get it it's a shortened season and everything. It's still super early. Teams are just, some teams you can already tell that they are bad.
Oh yeah.
Teams you can already tell that they're really good. The Flyers are one of those teams where I think it's just, they're almost like last year. Like, I don't think they're going to be a number one seed.
No.
However, they have a goaltender who can get hot, which we have seen before.
Moose?
Moose can get hot. Carter Hart can get hot. So you get one goalie get hot. If you have two goalies get hot,
let's say both goalies are hot. That's to say they're hotter than the Sports Illustrated Swimsy Mile. They're just fucking hot. When there's no defense, how good could they really be? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they need a defenseman. But yeah, I think they can get through the regular season and get into the playoffs.
They'll be a playoff team. Like, maybe a middle of the pack, low seed. It might be better for them, though. But they're not going to be the one seed like we saw in the bubble last year. And actually, I hope NHL does have that bubble format again. Maybe not without the round robin, just the bubble hockey up in Canada. Because that was actually, when it comes to bubble, I guess, NHL, NBA, dude, that NHL playoffs last year, even the Stanley Cup final, whatever, it was fucking gold, dude. Like, that was absolutely insane. I even had Christina watching the one game was the... what was that? The 4 or 5 overtime game? Or 6?
Oh, yeah, with, Tampa Bay and Columbus?
Yep. Even she was watching that, like, holy fuck, this is good. Like, that's how great.
Yeah, I mean, that is awesome when you have, like, goalies that are just, like, unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get anything past the goalie in the playoffs, there's nothing like it.
By the way, I lost that bet, by the way. I bet a lot of money on that game. All right. I don't want to talk about it because I bet it at overtime. I went live betting. But I mean, it was just great. What they did in the bubble, the round robin, I think, was kind of fugazi. I don't think it was that good because you had team sandbagging. But once the playoffs started, it was just fucking good. Like, NHL did it right. But I mean, this year, I mean, the NBA is still holding our hopes for fans in a sense for the playoffs. You can buy playoff tickets right now. I mean, that would be kind of cool. Maybe like a 30% capacity type deal. See some playoff basketball. But the Sixers, though, man, that game. Now, I didn't watch a game last night, I purposely didn't check any scores, and I just watched the highlights in the morning before I clocked into work. Dude, I don't buy into the refs control and outcome of a game because your team should have done more to not let that call phase you. That was a bad call.
It's a week of bad calls. So I watched the hockey game earlier in the week. It was like nothing on TV. I wasn't doing anything. And I was just, the Flyers were supposed to play that day. And I watched, like, Bruins-Rangers. So I was like, this game, it could be competitive. You know, it's a rivalry game. It was a weird night where it was, I think, like, 2 games on TV or 2 games playing in general. And they were both, like, original six matchups. So I watched Rangers and Bruins. There was clearly a goal scored by Boston. They got called back. Then it was clearly a high stick by the Rangers that it was just like the most wild game with all these crazy, terrible calls. And then you go back to Sunday and we watch the Super Bowl, and then there's a wild game with crazy, terrible calls.
Oh, shit. We haven't talked about the Super Bowl yet. Ah, shit. We haven't talked about that yet, Mike. Oh, my God. That Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Now, I don't. God damn it. I don't know how to word this. Tom Brady is the goat of all goats. You cannot sit here today after the Super Bowl and say Tom Brady isn't the greatest quarterback of all time. The way he played that Super Bowl. You cannot tell me he isn't. But more impressively to me is what, I mean, granted, the Chiefs' offensive line was decimated. What the Chiefs did defensively in that game was just a thing of beauty. It was just, they stopped Patrick Mahomes at offense on all speed. The offense all speed, and they stopped him. It was just, watching that game at halftime, which we got to talk about the halftime show, by the way. At halftime, that game, I even texted my grandfather. I'm like, this game's over. I'm going to bed. Good night. Like, you just knew there's no way the Chiefs could win that game.
Yeah, I didn't think that. There was, like, this part of me, like, and for the record, I did pick Tampa Bay to win.
Yes, you did. Yes, you
did. I did. And for the, I mean, there's this part of me that said, like, there's never a game where Patrick Mahomes is going to be out of it, let alone a Super Bowl. So when the Chiefs went down and they're driving, didn't they drive that like right out of the gate there?
Yeah.
In the third, they drove all the way down. And I think did he throw an interception, or they went like 4-on-4th and didn't get it? They got the field goal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. They went and they kicked the field goal. And I was just like, they're still not out of it. Like, I just, until there was like 5 minutes left and they were down by 22. I was like, okay, now I think they're a little bit over their heads. Yeah. Like, now they got to get, you know, two touchdowns, a 2-point conversion, multiple onside kicks. Andy Reid's blowing timeouts like it's, you know, now, back in the Donovan days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. Now, there was a thing I was reading about how Andy Reid maybe shouldn't have not been at the Super Bowl, but maybe, I don't know exactly who's calling the plays. If it's him or Bieniemy, I don't know, because I'm not really following Kansas City. But apparently they were saying because of what happened with his son with a DUI, and I think there's a child right now in critical care, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, his mind wasn't there. So maybe people are saying that had an outcome to the game. It could have. I mean, that's kind of a fucked scenario to be in. But I mean, just what the Chiefs were just, I mean, it was just a massacre for Patrick Mahomes. It was bad. Like, they couldn't block anyone. Receivers really weren't getting open. What Tampa Bay did defensively was just a thing of beauty. I'm kind of disappointed with Spags. I thought maybe he would have kind of showed up a little more with defending. I mean, Tom Brady's not mobile. It just, maybe they would have got a little more pressure on Brady. Spags, you let me down. But I mean, it's just that it was a total lopsided Super Bowl. It was like, it kind of reminded me of the Colts Seattle Super Bowl a little bit. You just knew. It's like, this is, why are we even watching this? It's done. It's over.
It's kind of what I had thought originally, but I really didn't think that, like, a prediction that I would have really come to fruition there, where it was like, on Kansas City, you really have two guys on offense besides Mahomes that are going to make plays. Tampa Bay has, what, 5, 6, 7?
I'll give you, I think you're undervaluing the KC talent there.
Okay, so let me see who I'm undervaluing here.
Because you,
so you have Mahomes.
Yep, that's a runner scorer. Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
Yep, 2.
Travis Kelce.
3.
Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's a rookie. And that's about it.
No, hold on here. Let me pull up that roster real quick.
So who are you going to say? Like, let me guess. You're going to say Mecole Hardman. You're going to go with Daryl Williams.
No, I'm five. I'll
you're
stop
gonna go, five. You're going to go Brian Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, basically anybody who's ever touched a ball that Patrick Mahomes throws it to.
No,
but I'm
five.
Being
I'll
real
give
here.
Five.
I mean, you got five. Tom. You have Tom Brady, and I don't consider him a dual threat or anything like that. And
no.
Like, obviously, he's past his prime at this point. But
oh, well past.
On that offense, like, yeah, Gronk made plays.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to cut you off, Mike, but if you guys are listening to me, Gronkowski to score to touchdown plus 175, you're welcome.
You're welcome. That was huge.
It was huge. I mean, what do you have, two or three touchdowns? I think two, Gronk?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had a huge game.
Yeah, he did. But
so the way I look at like Tampa Bay, you had Ronald Jones, who was a monster for more than half the year running back. Then he got banged up. And then you had Leonard Fournette. Both of them played in the Super Bowl. Yep. Fournette had the bigger game, but Jones was still good. You have Brady, obviously. You have Gronk. Cameron Brate, I think, had like a couple nice plays. But then, like, the receiving core, how do you compete with that? How do you compete with, like, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown?
Good. Yeah. Well, I can't
Antonio
give you...
Antonio Brown was almost an afterthought.
Like, I'll give you a half for Antonio Brown. Give you a half.
He scored in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but...
And he had a monster play.
I'll give you half. Because the covers was shifted to the other two guys. That's why he was...
And that's exactly my point. Like... I get that, like, Patrick Mahomes can turn, you know, chicken shit into chicken salad, but I mean, at what point are you going to tell me that Brian Pringle or Pringles. Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson lining up out there is a scarier, you know, matchup for a defense than Antonio Brown?
I mean, this will come down to I'm disappointed with Spags. I thought Spags would have, I mean, he beat Tom Brady before. I mean, yeah. I thought he would have probably had a better game plan to pressure him, because once you pressure Brady, that's it. He can't move. He can't run. Like, you put pressure on him, it's over. I mean, unless you outscore him, what we did. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to beat him, is you outscore him or get to him. That's it. That's the only way you could beat Brady. But it was such a lopsided Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs just look flat. I mean, it just looked dead. I mean, the first half, you had Patrick Mahomes running for his life out there. I mean, I think I watched it was the second drive or the first drive, where pretty much the only first downs I got were for him running. Because that's the only thing he can do, is running for his life. But it's just a lopsided Super Bowl. I mean, hey, it was still, if you're a fan of NFL, you want to see Mahomes versus Brady. But maybe Mahomes with a better offensive line versus Brady would have been a lot more entertaining. You know what I mean? But I digress. It's over. It's done with. You know, Brady was passing the Lombardi Trophy boat to boat in the Tampa Bay boat parade.
Yeah, that was wild. I saw some of that. That was pretty wild, man.
Must be nice to be down there in the nice sun, palm trees, you know, boating, beaches, as we're getting in our snowstorm tomorrow night. Like, yeah, fucking great. Thank you, New Jersey.
So here's one for you, and I know, I'm sure, because we, and you know, I'm sure there's some people up in New England who tune in and give us a couple clicks and downloads, and we really appreciate it. And you guys want us to talk Boston sports and put some segments out there for that, I mean, we're well versed in anything, and we'll talk about whatever you want. Even though we're a Philly-based sports podcast and we're pretty much Philadelphia fans, we'll talk your ears off about your Boston teams. So that being said, you have to know that there's a lot of people up there that the Patriots were done this year and are clearly, you know, yay, Tom. Hooray, Tom.
I want to dive deeper in this real quick. Now, granted, we're not from New England. We don't follow New England sports. We don't follow New England sports talk. We don't know what they're talking about right now. However, during the season, before Cam Newton got COVID, he was damn good. And we talked about that. At post-COVID, Cam Newton was fucking awful. So now my thing is, because now the debate was, you had who was better, Brady, was it Brady or was it Belichick? Who was this reason for success? How can you properly judge Belichick when he has a quarterback who, for after COVID, whether it mindset or team, maybe teams figured him out because it's Cam Newton, he's been struggling for years now. How can you properly judge Bill Belichick over such a shit play as quarterback? That's my question. I don't know if there's any New England fans out there that can maybe DM one of us that question, answer that question. But you can't judge Bill Belichick based off of what Cam Newton did and what the team did. Now, if you give Belichick Carson Wentz, you give Belichick
or
any
Jimmy
other
Garoppolo.
Yeah, or the Italian Stallion, or who else? Any other quarterback who's mildly good. Alex Smith. Give me I'll give you another one. Give me a weird one. Give me a
Sam Darnold.
Okay, even Sam Darnold. Thank you. Thank you. Then you can actually judge Bill Belichick. Because again, everyone forgets what he did with Matt Castle. Everyone forgot that. That apparently had never happened. I remember
and now
that.
And now he's starting to get the band back together up there. He's bringing in back the Matt Patricias, you know, keeping little Josh McDaniels under his wing. It's like they're poised to like make another run. They got to go out and they got to find that next Tom Brady almost. Is Jared Stidham on the roster? Is he the next Tom Brady?
The next Tom Brady. Does someone smart with the ball? You know what I mean? It's not, you know what I mean? Who can read quick, get the ball out. That's what Tom Brady did. Maybe a tick lower than what Tom Brady did. Like, Sam Darnold honestly would probably be perfect. Because I don't think Sam Darnold's actually not that bad. I just think the Jets fucking suck. I mean, that's just it. The Jets fucking blow as an organization. But if they had Sam Darnold, I guarantee you they'd probably be in the playoffs. I see it happening. Because that's just me.
Could be. But my point to this debate was, so for all those years that Brady was with New England, and what, he won 6 Super Bowls with them?
Yes.
So obviously, he's tied to that fan base. They love him no matter where he went. If he went to the Jets and won a Super Bowl, they probably still love him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So obviously, they have some rooting interest out there. But
I think I mean, to cut off here. I think the ratings came down for what city tuned in the most. I think New England was in the top 3 for tuning in to Super Bowl.
Probably, because, yeah, he's only been removed, what, 1 year from there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, for whatever reason, can you think of a Philadelphia athlete, or even if it's like one of your boys from the Yankees or Rangers or wherever, that you can remember following and or rooting for after they left? Which kind of brings up, like, if Carson leaves, are a lot of people going to follow, let alone really cheer for the guy after he leaves?
Okay, wait, before I answer the question. All right, so based off of following, so you're asking if Carson Wentz, if the Philadelphia fan base will follow Carson Wentz, whatever team he lands on. That's what you're asking, right?
Well, I'm not saying like follow as in like, hey, we're becoming Colts fans. I'm like, oh, they're like invested in what the guy does. Like they're watching him closely.
Fuck no. That's because of Carson. No, the Philadelphia fans, the typical, I don't know. I don't want to. Oh, God damn it. The typical Philadelphia, you know, use, we got to get some cheese steaks. Like, oh yeah, use guys. Fuck no. Because they don't, they hate Carson Wentz. He's not Nick Foles. He's not Big Dick Nick. There's no statue of him outside the fucking link. So, no, they are not going to follow him. An actual intellectual, someone who actually can see deep down what happened with the team, I don't think they will fully invest into following him, but they will actually, I mean, check the stats. Check how did Carson do today. All right, they won. 2 touchdowns, 300 yards. He had a good game.
So you don't think there's a lot of like purist Carson fans out there?
No, not at all. That's a minority. They're probably, okay. I would say not even 10% of this Eagles fan base. I'm one of them. But if he goes to the Colts, I'll follow him.
So do you think there's like, can you remember, like, I guess throughout our lifetimes of like watching sports, can you think of like any athletes that you really like followed closely when they left and either like rooted really hard against them or just kind of like cheered for them to finally win something?
Man, you're really putting me on the spot there. The only two that come to mind, I got two, but I have a possible third for you. All right. I got a possible third that I'm just double checking my stats real quick. But the only two that comes to mind that I can think of that, all right, we got it. I think a lot of people actually rooted for and rooted against. First one that comes to mind is T.O. I think because we saw him twice a week with Dallas. It's just to me that you saw him twice a week. You rooted against him. I know when I was a kid, I fucking rooted against him because I didn't realize what actually happened in the locker room, how he was actually probably right many years later. But T.O. is only the biggest one that come to mind. The only other one I can think of would be Brian Dawkins.
That I think everybody kind of followed B-Dawg, yes, just hoping that he would get that ring.
Yes, 100% when he went to Denver. I know people who hate the Eagles because of what they did with him, a.k.a. my wife. She hated him. She flat told me, like, oh, they got rid of Dawkins. They're dead to me. It was actually a raw. He did get a raw deal, though. Banner did him dirty. We can say that. Banner did Dawkins
it's almost
dirty.
And to a lesser degree, I think it's like a Malcolm Jenkins situation, too, where, like, that guy should still be an Eagle.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, I think you and I talked about this many, many episodes ago, who I was actually on board with keeping him, but I understand what the Eagles did because I want to play more of a coverage-style defense. This is before the shit hit the fan with us. This is well before that because Jenkins played more up in the box. They want to switch Jalen at the safety, play a more cover-style defense. Maybe it'll help people out. Yeah, I was fucking wrong. But, yes, Malcolm Jenkins should be an Eagle. But here's another name for you, Mike.
Wait, let me guess it.
Okay.
Is it Allen Iverson?
No, but that's another good one. Nope. Not basketball. Okay. Another huge Philadelphia sports icon, especially, I want to say, in our early childhood. Huge.
I have two that are mine, but I'm going to let...
You go first. Just go to give your two.
I mean, my two were just because of, like, I guess, like, childhood ties to them, and I kind of followed them, and I guess, like, their careers ultimately ended when I was in high school or, like, just getting out of high school. So, one, Rod Brind'Amour was, like, my favorite Flyer hands down as a kid. Like, was crushed, heartbroken when he got traded for Keith Primeau. So I definitely followed Rod. And then the other one, and I might get some heat for this.
He was the one I'm thinking of. Let's see what jump Rossi, what we got.
I might definitely get some heat for this. Just because of his like recent, his recent statements he made.
No, you're not going to say who I think. Is it baseball?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to say who I think.
Yeah,
you're
because
say.
I this is the only time say. I've ever owned any Boston paraphernalia.
Kurt
Schilling.
Oh my God. Dude.
Were you saying Kurt Schilling too?
Yes, I know. I wasn't thinking of my person, but I can't believe you just named him. Mike. God, Mike.
And so, like, once again, that all starts in your childhood. Do you remember, like, back in the day, you could go to, like, the vet, and they had, like, those take your picture with, like, the players thing or whatever?
Yes.
So, like, I remember I got my picture taken with, like, Doug Glanville and, like, a bunch of those guys and, like, Kurt Schilling. I mean... I had my picture taken with Kurt Schilling, and I don't know why, but, like, I was just, like, I collected, like, all the Kurt Schilling cards. Like, I had, like, I'm sure it pained my dad to go and, like, get me, but my dad got me, like, a Kurt Schilling Red Sox jersey, and I didn't know any better. I was, like, a freshman in high school, and, like, I was just, like, yeah, I mean, Kurt Schilling, man.
Mike. I can't believe you just said that. I had a feeling you were going to go there. I had this little inkling. I'm like, you know, when he said two people, I'm like, and he said one was hockey. I'm like, he's going to go baseball. Please don't say Kurt Schilling. And you said Kurt Schilling. God. I mean, listen, we're not going to talk about what he did with politics. And because some people support him, some people don't. that's a losing battle. Two things you're always going to lose at when talking to someone: religion and politics. That's, you're going to lose. That's, no one can see eye to eye on that. But I understand.
Was he your guy or no?
No, I had another one from our childhood. Again, I can vaguely remember. I think I seen him play once or twice. It was hockey. Can you guess who it is?
Probably Eric Lindros.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Yeah. That's another good one, man.
That's a lot. I know.
But like, those are some guys that like you just can't.
Oh, what's his name for the Phillies too? That people hated and actively rooted against him. I know people were trashing him for the Phillies because he went to the Nationals. You know what I'm talking about?
Jason Worth.
Yeah, one Jason Worthless.
I loved him.
Yeah, people were trashing him from going there. Oh, man, taking that contract. I
thought he was great, too.
He wasn't bad. I don't think he's the reason why he won.
There are just some guys that, like, for one reason or another, you can't let go. So, like, T.O., you had to root against him.
You had. You couldn't be an Eagles fan and not root against T.O.
And it wasn't those two times a year that you saw him. You were, like, actively hoping that the guy sucked or, like, you know, his car blew up or something.
And all because of sit-ups in his driveway. I'd say everyone hated him. But actually, later down the line now, listening to different interviews, dude, I think he was right, man. Like, I really think he was in the right, and the Eagles and Donovan McNabb were in the wrong. Like, that's... I honestly feel that, dude. Because Donovan went out of his way to try to get Westbrook his contract, and next thing you know, T.O. was like, yeah, I want to get money, and he deserved every fucking penny of whatever he was asking for. And Donovan just kept his mouth shut. Like, yeah, no, fuck you, dude. You're taking my fan base. Get the fuck out of here. But, it's just... man, I don't think I've ever hated someone in my younger years more than I hated T.O. And my dad...
It was one of those things. It was like...
Ugh. And my dad was a Dallas fan, so he had the T.O. jersey. He always rocked it. It just amplified everything, my hatred for him. But... I don't think he had an okay career with Dallas. I don't recall anything like really standing out.
Nothing like crazy good. I don't think
it was okay.
He had one really good year with Cincinnati.
I forgot he even went to fucking Cincinnati. I completely fucking forgot about that. Damn, because you think of Cincinnati back in the day, you think of like Ocho Cinco. TJ, who's your mama? Like, you know, what's the running back they had? Was it Cedric Benson? Is that the running back they had?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking pull. Carson Palmer in his prime. Holy
they had,
shit.
They had, like, wide receivers. They had, like, Chris Henry.
Oh, my God, dude. And their defense was halfway decent. God, they had a really good. Oh, God, that fucking team. That still pisses me off they didn't win anything. That team was fucking stacked, dude. What year were they? They were good from what? What was that? 2000? Oh, God, dude. Was that 2006 to 2010? They were good? And around there?
Really good run. Just some bad luck.
Marvin Lewis fucking sucks as a head coach. That's the luck.
Well.
that's all you need to know about that team.
He's a good defensive coordinator, though, with the Ravens back in the day.
Yeah, that's about it. Holy shit. What's his name, defensive coordinator over there? Fat Jesus, wasn't he one of the Ryans?
Yeah, Rob Ryan.
Ryan, yeah, he was over there, right? Then he went to the Saints.
The Saints or
I think it was the Saints. He definitely was the Saints because I think he was the Bounty Gate person, right?
I think he was that Greg Williams. No, I thought that was Greg Williams.
Damn, dude, was it Greg Williams? I know he was over there. All right, God damn, you're really testing my. My brain cells, man. My brain cells are overheating right now. Holy shit, dude.
Anyway, so after we talk all the sports that have expired in the last week, if you will, with the NFL season coming to an end. Another one begins this week with the Super Bowl of NASCAR. The Daytona 500. It's kind of weird that like you go from like literally the Super Bowl. And then a week later, it's essentially the Super Bowl in another sport.
See, why? This bothers me. This is always bothered. Now, this for the listeners that I, growing up until, I don't know what age I was heavily into NASCAR. Like, that was my life. I went to every Dover race twice a year. I had the magazine. I had everything auto racing you can think of. I used to watch the Speed Channel back in the day, nonstop, 24/7. But it always bothered me. Why is the Daytona 500 is the biggest race of the year? Why is it at the start of the fucking season?
You know what? I just have to. I don't want to take a timeout from the episode. I don't want to interrupt either. But I just want everyone to know. And I feel like I'm looking into a crystal ball right now. I just feel like you're a Gordon guy. You must have been a Jeff Gordon guy.
I fucking hate Jeff Gordon.
All right, good. I'm glad.
Now, growing up, actually, there's a scene I used to quote from Reno 911. It was the episode where they try to get the execution tickets, and they had a checklist of who got the most points, and it was a junior in the car. He's like, and his quote was, how the fuck, I still remember this quote, but his quote was, getting these execution tickets, like getting front row seats to NASCAR, we just know Jeff Gordon's going to die. And that's honestly how I fucking felt, dude. Like every
race.
Who was your
favorite driver?
Dude, I was a DEI guy. Dale Jr., Michael Waltrip, Steve Park. Like,
ooh,
that whole
that's team. A good name.
And actually, I know that name because you name dropped it on me like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy even fucking existed.
Yeah, all you had to say was what? I think like Pennzoil car. Yep. And I was
number
like,
one,
Steve Park.
Number one car. Number one DEI car, that yellow Pennzoil car with the E. They just had the Earnhardt E going up the side and shit like that.
Yeah.
Later years. Oh my god, dude! Whoo, bringing up really, really bringing up some past memories there. But it always bothered me. Why is the biggest race of the year the first race of the year? That's not real. I mean, wouldn't it be more beneficial for that sport? Because again, listen, it's a niche sport. I mean, that's just face of fact here. If you're below the Mason-Dixon line, you're going to watch it. You're above the Mason-Dixon line. Chances are you don't give two fucks about the sport. Now,
there's few and far between. There's a core group that, you know.
Below the Mason-Dixon line. Thank you.
Above. Yeah.
Okay. Above. Now, okay, listen. I'm not into it, fully into it. I'll watch a lap or two. Like, I'll throw it on at the green flag. I'll watch a couple laps. I'll switch to something. I'll come back, see what's happening. I'll bet the living fuck out of it. But for me to sit there and watch it, I really can't do it. I used to be able to. I used to sit there all the whole fucking race. Watch every fucking second of that broadcast. Now I can't do it. But I'm going to bet the living fuck out of it. You bet your sweet ass I'll be betting this fucking Daytona.
I'm really looking forward to this season. There's a couple of different changes now. So, like, as you were saying with the Clash the other night, you really enjoyed that Daytona race course.
Yes, I did. Yes, I fucking did.
Road course, I'm sorry.
That Daytona road course is fucking gold. Every second about that. It was just, I mean, I'm not even talking about the Clash. We can get in that a little bit. The road course itself at Daytona is just an underrated thing. Like, if you're not, I mean, I remember watching the Rolex 24/7 at Daytona. Just watching that road course. It is just fucking awesome. You got the lake right there. They're going up the line of bankings and they cut down into the infield. It's fucking awesome. It's great. I mean, yeah, what's the other one they had that everyone keeps hyping up? Was it Charlotte?
I think it's Charlotte.
That's fucking stupid. Get the fuck out of here with a half mile track or mile track with fucking a road course. Fuck it, get out of here. Give me Daytona. Give me that 2.5 mile wide track. Give me a road course in the middle, a fucking lake, banking up the sides. Fucking lovely, dude. It's fucking great.
You know what? I've always wanted to go to like a road course race, and I guess like the closest one would have been like Watkins Glen,
which I heard
is like really nice.
Yes, too. I heard it's fucking nice as shit. That's I always want to go to Watkins Glen. It's oddly enough, every race always took place on our brother's birthday, so we couldn't go. But I would kill to go to Watkins Glen.
I think it would just be like a cool like weekend to spend up there.
Oh yeah, upstate New York, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's fucking. That'd be awesome, dude. Watkins Glen. I mean, go on.
No, I was gonna say they're making a couple other changes. I know the All Star Race would always be at Charlotte.
Yes,
And it would be what, like back-to-back races there. They would have like almost like the Memorial Day weekend race. And
yes.
So it would be like what, the Coca-Cola 600, and then yes.
Then would it be
the All-Star race?
Or is it All-Star race then the Coca-Cola 600?
Yeah, one or the other. But they were always back-to-back there. And now that's getting moved to Texas.
Makes sense. Texas actually isn't a bad track.
And then, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Late March, Bristol Speedway. They're doing a dirt race, man. They're dumping it like they're dumping trucks. They're dumping. Apparently, they've been working on the track now for some time, I guess, to get ready for it. They're just dumping dirt on it.
Now, is it okay? I got some questions about this because, again, I don't follow the sport that intensively to know what's going on. Are they actually racing the stock cars what they're racing now at Daytona? Those stocks, are they racing that there?
I would imagine they would almost have to. I don't understand.
So they're going to put, okay, all right. So I do know enough about auto racing where dirt tracks are modified, either modified or they're old style slick cars and stuff like that. I do know enough about that. Actually, modifieds are actually pretty fucking cool. They're fucking dope, actually. But how can you, I have many questions about this. Number one, you're putting the most, the most engineered stock car, because you're not the most engineered race car in the world. That's Formula One. That's a different story. We can talk about that in our day. But you're putting the most engineered stock car that produces X amount of fucking horsepower on a dirt half a mile track that is already, Bristol is one of the best tracks. It's just nonstop action. Because it's that fucking awesome. Yeah, something doesn't seem right to me. I'm going to have to be Debbie Downer here, dude. Something just does not seem right to me with doing this.
And to be quite honest with you and everybody, like, I haven't read enough about it to know what different, like, modifications they're going to have to make to the car. Whether it's, I mean, it obviously is going to have to be tires.
I mean, oh yeah, they're not gonna have slick, or maybe they will have slick, but I just, something doesn't seem. I mean, yeah, back in the day, they used to race Daytona, where they used to race.
They're not gonna be driving sprint cars. You know what I mean? Like those little boxy little sprint cars, because they're basically death traps. I mean,
yeah, that's what I don't. Something just doesn't. I mean, the slick cars are ones that, you know, they drift around the turns because it's all mud. I don't. No, and that's almost like a stock car looking thing, an old style car. But I think even modifieds, if they race on dirt, I believe they do like that weird drift thing. I don't see this working out, man.
I hope it does, because I think it's like one of those wrinkles that they needed to do. And sports that are struggling right now are obviously like NASCAR and NHL, for that matter, and NHL is doing those outdoor games, and now they're doing NHL. One at like Lake Tahoe. So that's really cool that they're playing Lake Tahoe. And now NASCAR has been working on this track for a while. I actually just saw a picture as we were talking about it, and it sounds like at some of the deepest portions of the track, they're filling in dirt that is like 10 feet deep. So it's not going to be just like they're covering a road with dirt. It's going to be packed down.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be packed. But the question is, there's going to be no grip. I mean, not Dover. The Bristol, you know, is the Thunderdome. I mean, those cars are flying through that fucking track. I mean, it's just incredible, that track. That's why it's one of the best, I guess, other than Daytona, I would go out of limb here and say it's most rated race was the Sharpie 400 or Sharpie 600, whatever the fuck it is. Like, that race is always Bristol at nighttime. It's always like always highly rated.
Well, this is going to be like an afternoon race, this one. Yeah, it's not going to be at night on the dirt. I think it would be way, way too cold.
Yeah, like, but track level. Something doesn't seem right, man. That's all I'm saying. Something does not. I mean, it's going to be compacted dirt. I would imagine the speeds will be down because there's going to be barely any grip going around the turns. Oh my God, dude. I think this is going to be a recipe for disaster, man. I'm going to watch it because of that.
I'm tuning in.
I'll tune in to watch this disaster happen on TV. But before you said struggle with sports there, I think NHL is definitely more, what's the word I'm looking for here, is safer than NASCAR.
Yeah, I think they're both.
NASCAR has gone down dramatically because, let's just face it, it's left turns over and over again. I mean, unless you're a gearhead, unless you're into what actually happens, it's just, it's like NHL is nonstop action. This is just, you can check out a couple laps and come back and get caught back up on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, shit, I'm going to watch it. Like I said, I check in a couple laps. Daytona, I should probably watch a lot of that. Talladega, Dover. What's another good one? Any of the road courses I'll watch. That's awesome. But here's one for you, Mike. Do you remember the road guy? There's actually two of them that come to mind. All right. Two guys that come to mind. They would only race the road courses. Watkins Glen and what's the other one? Sonoma?
Yeah.
Do you know who those two people were?
One is Boris Said.
Okay, there's one. What's the other one, man?
Oh.
Maybe just the second one didn't only race road courses, but he was always featured as the guy in road courses, other than Boris Said.
Boris Said, it wasn't Robbie Gordon, was it?
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. There, Robbie Gordon. I'm pretty sure Robbie Gordon would just go to whatever bar was in that town and just, Jack Daniels is my sponsor. I wonder how many shots I can get for free. Just walk in and be...
Shit, you got them fucking fast, dude. Damn.
Come on, dude.
I thought the second one I was going to stump you, actually.
Get out of here.
I knew you were going to get Boris Said. I am
El Presidente right de NASCAR, okay?
Jesus Christ, you got that fast. You know what, dude? I think next episode I'm going to come up with some drivers that I witnessed. Some obscure, weird, maybe only race, two race drivers that I've witnessed. And I'm going to see if you can get them. You know, I'm going to write that down real quick. Hold on here. I'm going to write this down. For next week, give me a pen here.
Make sure you write that. You can write down their sponsors. I'll probably guess it. You can write down like
sponsors.
Ken, okay. So you can write down Ken Schrader and no.
All right. It was a pen. All right. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to come up. No, I'll come up with, we'll do a fast, we'll call it the Fast Five, right? I'll come up with five obscure drivers. I'll give you hints. The last hint will be the sponsor and we'll see if you can get them.
Are you going to do, like, drivers that only race, like, one race or something crazy like that?
No. It'll be, like, more than one race.
All right.
Like, I'm picturing a guy. I can't remember his name right now. That's where it came to mind. He raced a serious car. And
I thought you were going to say a serial Mongo car. And I was going to be like, oh, Johnny Benson. No.
Oh, God damn it, dude. I forgot about him, too. Motherfucker. And I can't use that.
You know, you're doomed here.
No, I'm going to get you, dude. Instead of Stump the Swab, it'll be Stump the Mike. There it is. That's the fucking game. That's going to be a game next week. All right. We're have a game next week. It will be that. Fuck. Because, dude, I'm thinking of – I can think of the car, but I can't picture your name. Because there are some weird drivers out there. That, they raced and raced and raced, but they never won. They were just there, just driving. Again, the one was a serious car, Mongo. It was a heavyset guy. I can't fucking remember his name.
Jimmy Spencer?
Was it Jimmy Spencer?
Might have been Jimmy Spencer.
Fuck. All right.
He drove the Target car for a while too, right? Jimmy Spencer?
No.
Yeah, I thought Jimmy Spencer drove the Target car.
Maybe. Again, this will be next week. I will come up with 5 to 10 obscure drivers. And I'll even test your memory with some other drivers and what we witnessed. I'll go from 2000 and... Fuck.
All right, so I just looked it up and Jimmy Spencer definitely drove the number 6. I mean, the number 7.
Number 7 serious car, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You already lost. He also drove the Target car, by the way.
Okay. Because there are some weird drivers that maybe tail end of what we – that retired, but we witnessed. I'll go from 2000 – what's your memory? 2006, 2005 on?
I mean, probably before that, but yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'll go from 2002. I'll go from 2002 – on until we'll go 2012. From 2002 to 2012, I'll come up with 5 to 10 drivers and I'll see if you can get them. And actually, I'm picturing one right now that
Is it Ted Musgrave? No, I'm joking.
No, this is actually a well known driver that actually had probably the wildest finish I've ever seen. I can't tell you more about it. Can't tell any more about it, but it's going to be a question. It will 100% be this driver will be a question. And I can't tell you what sponsor was because you'll get, you're going to get it instantly. But no, this will be, there'll be, this will be your question. That's actually a damn good idea, actually.
Carl Edwards. No, I'm kidding.
He's well known. Get out of here with that shit. He's well known.
Greg Biffle.
Greg Biffle. Oh my fucking God. Holy shit. Wow. And actually, dude, I actually found, well, I didn't find, I was given, inherited, I guess you can say, the old Dover programs to the races I went to from way back in the day. I mean, these
Monster
are...
Monster Mile.
Yes, I'm talking about fully intact. It came with the patches, all the advertising in the clear thing. Like, oh, there's Once Train. I don't know if anyone can hear it. The Once Train
I just heard it, yeah.
Yep, there's the Once Train, folks, and it's arrived. The... dude, I'm going to come up with this. And I got some... I'll get some names here. That will be a damn good segment. Called something like... But... there are some other good races, though. I mean,
okay, so real quick, since you were like kind of quizzing me a little bit there, what is the name of the Dover Monster? The Monster Mile Monster.
Oh, God damn it. I knew it at one point. Because I remember hearing it from what's his name on the announcer, the boogity boogity boogie. Let's go right there. Was it
Darryl? I'm pretty sure it's Millie, right?
I've heard it.
The monster.
Fuck, dude. I've heard it. I know I heard it. I cannot remember it. I remember hearing it, though. Cannot remember it. No, it's completely gone out of my memory. Forever forgotten. So, speaking of NASCAR real quick, do you remember in 2008? 2000? Might have been 2009 when the Car of Tomorrow came out.
Yeah.
So, what was the hate of that car? Because it had, like, the weird spoiler that on trim. The back.
Yeah.
Why? What was the fucking point of that hate? Because I still think that was the best-looking car they raced to this day. What was the point of that? People hated it. I thought it was fucking awesome.
I honestly, if I'm telling the truth, I honestly missed having, like, Dodges in there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Pontiac.
Yeah.
We missed the death of Pontiac, the Intrepids.
Didn't they have like Oldsmobile at one point too?
That's before our time, I think.
Yeah, I know. That's well, like way before
our time. Our time is Pontiac was the Grand Prix. Chevy was the Impala. No, it was the Monte Carlo. Correction. It was the Monte Carlo. You had Ford was the Taurus. Ford Taurus. Wait. Chevy, Pontiac, Ford. What am I missing? I'm missing Dodge was the Intrepid. I want to say the Intrepid. Then it switched over to the
Challenger.
Yes, it was the Challenger. Yeah. And Chevy switched over to the Impala. Right? Yeah, Impala. Then Pontiac died. Goodbye. Get the fuck out of here. Then you had Ford switched over to the Mustang? Yes, it was the Mustang. Yeah. Damn, that's really testing my memory. And now, actually, dude, we witnessed even... Oh, wait, no, I can't say that statement. I cannot. We witnessed another car brand debut at NASCAR. And I cannot tell you any more about that. It's Toyota.
Yeah.
But the Red Bull cars. I think the one was Red Bull. And they had the silver rims. So I never... Fuck, I can't even say that. God damn it. These are all fucking questions. God damn it.
I can't say that. I know who you're thinking of. I know.
No, I'm thinking of other cars too that had the silver rims.
Well, so, that's getting real specific. I thought we were going like drivers and sponsors.
No, we are going drivers. That's
how I thought we were going like Cartoon Network driver sponsors.
No, we are. We are. But that's how I remember. But do you remember? Here's one for you. Here, since we're going down this blast from the past here. Do you remember when Michael Waltrip left DEI and created his own company?
Yeah.
Mike, dude.
Those are bad.
I loved every fucking second of that. I had the I freaking went out and bought the what the fuck was that? What was this company called? Michael Waltrip Racing? Was it MCR? No, MW. Okay, thank you. I had the hats. I had the fucking shirt. Dude, I had everything. Like, that was like. Because that's when Chirk Jr. came from. Like, that's, I loved every second of that fucking franchise, and it died. Fuck you, Michael Waltrip. Fuck you. I had hats, shirts. I even had the fucking jacket that raced the mock.
You know what? I think I might have actually had it. I think I had a Dale Jr. jacket when he had Budweiser sponsor.
Yeah, I had that too. Yeah. Had that too. I think everyone had that. Let's everybody be realistic. Everyone had that. But I mean, it's just, then he went to 88 amp, and that just ended his. And I think DEI closed because they formed with someone. Was it Haas? Was it Stewart? Who the fuck did they merge with? They merged with someone.
Who?
DEI. And then they got rid of it. They merged with another.
It was probably like Childress or somebody like that. Was it Childress?
I can't remember. And then they got, because what's her name? The wife decided to say, yeah, I'm done with this. Goodbye. Goodbye. Get on a hair. Give me my millions. Good for her, though. But it's just, oh, man, back in the day, man.
Dude, I remember when.
Fuck.
Way back in the day when Earnhardt won that 500, way back. That was wild.
I remember, oh, God, I don't know how the fuck I remember this, dude. This is tapping into deepest part of my childhood that I wish I forgot about. But anyway, I remember when it was Talladega and Earnhardt won. I think it was your all three races. It was truck. This was the Bush. And it was Winston. It was your Winston Cup or was Nextel Cup? It might have been. It was around that era when it switched. And he won either. It was all three or two. And I had the model of his. It was a white spinoff car. It was like Music City car. It had a guitar on the front of it. A model that I actually was building during that weekend that he won. And God, I'll see if I can find it. I'll send it to you. It was the most obscure car. And I remember watching him win all three, building the fucking model during the race. God, I don't know how the fuck I remember that, dude.
He had Dale drove this car. And I don't remember. It was like in the 90s at some point. And I was like infatuated with fishing. And like he drove this gold Bass Pro Shops car.
Really?
I'll find that paint job and send it. That was insane.
I don't remember that at all. But, oh, man, I don't remember shit. But, dude, let me talk about go back to Clash real quick. Now, granted, I have not watched that race since it was called the Bud Shootout. All right? That's the last time. That just dates me there. That ending was fucking gold, dude. You could not ask for a better ending to what I would. I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights of it. But it was just fucking. You think the two people are going down the line. Like, oh, one of these two would win it. The one dude hits the other dude and Kyle Busch comes on third place to win it. Like, it the road course, dude. It's fucking awesome. This goes back to why the road course is fucking awesome. But who's on the, do you know who's on the pole for Daytona?
It's, who is it? It's William Byron and Swing Better. It is.
Swing Better. I mean,
it's William Byron and Alex Bowman.
Oh, fuck, dude, that guy. He won me some money last year. I might ride him in top 10 this year. Because
Bowman switched over to Jimmy Johnson's car.
Okay. Fuck, he wants me some money last year. I think this is one of the only races where pole doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's going to be a good race, though. It's going to be a damn good race. I can't wait. What is it, 3? 3 o'clock start time?
2:30.
2:30? Okay. Yeah, I'll check in because I'm off Monday. I'll check in and watch a good portion of that race. But, I mean, it's
hopefully no rain.
Yeah, hopefully not. Yeah, did I tell you what I did late? Was it last year or the year before that? I was sitting there watching the race, and I'm watching it, and I was like, oh, man. It was either getting dark. No, it was dark outside, but it was so light on the track. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, wow, I like kick back, like, oh, this is fucking awesome. It was fucking last year's race because it got delayed. I'm just sitting there like, my brain didn't comprehend, like, they're still on the East Coast. You know, it's dark here. It should be dark there. Dude, didn't even comprehend. Didn't even fucking phase my brain. I just sat there watching it like it was live. Honestly, dude, you would. Even Christine was like, where's this at? I'm like, Florida. She's like, why is it light out there? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, it's still on the same time zone as us. And I saw the replay on the like the top what is it, top right hand corner they have. Dude, I sat there for at least an hour. Probably, I would say over an hour, sitting there watching it like it was live, dude. That's just my brain for you, folks. That sums up me right there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy that tries to put a round block in a square hole. That's just me, sitting there trying to jam it in. Why doesn't this work? That's my life. That's my life. Oh, it's okay, though. I own up to it. I own up that I'm an idiot. It's okay. It's okay. But, man.
So who do you got for the 500 anyway, huh?
Dude, I don't even know. What I'm going to bet...
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to bet Alec Bowman top 10. No, I'm going to ride the same drivers I ran last year that I bet. I'm going to ride Bowman, your boy Cole Custer. I'm going to ride...
Kez is my real...
I'll ride Kez. I'll ride Kez. All those three, I'll bet top 10. I'll bet all three of those top 10. And for the winner... You know what, dude? I'm going to bet the winner. I'm going to put, since we talked about him, Truex Jr. to win it.
Ooh.
That's because he always runs well with restricted plate races. I'll put Truex Jr. to win it. There you go. There's my lock. I have no idea what the odds are. I can't tell you what the odds are. Bet those three top 10, Truex Jr. to win it. Lock it in. Bam. Who you got?
I think I'm going... Tyler Reddick.
That's another obscure name there. I mean, granted, I'm probably going to bet it now because every driver he told me last year won or hit.
Yeah, because
I'm going to bet it.
Di Benedetto. Or
yeah, she has another one I won money on. No, bet him top 10 too. Bet him top 10.
I'm going to go. I like Tyler. It's so goofy on Daytona. Like, it's comes down to like the last 10 laps. Oh, so, yeah. Like, give me like Tyler Reddick.
Not Jim Beretic now.
You know what? There was a guy last year I liked, and I thought he got a raw deal when he was with Gibbs, and I still think he's getting a raw deal, and he's full talent. Daniel Suarez.
Daniel Suarez. Okay. Okay.
I like All Suarez. Right. I like Reddick. You already said Cole Custer.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
I also have this gut feeling.
Kaz Grella.
I also have this weird feeling it's going to be obscure name. Like some random dude that just got a contract. It's probably his only race he's going to race in. Like it happened a couple years ago. It was a driver who only had like a contract for like six races. And he had one in Daytona 500. And they had to re-sign him the rest of the year. It could be one of those scenarios, I think, too. Some weird ass scenario there that could happen.
What if like a guy that's running super part time, like a Jamie McMurray who's coming out of the booth to run a race? What
Jamie
if Jamie
McMurray?
Off?
That's another blast from the past there. Oh my god, Jamie McFucking Murray. Wow.
Honestly, I do think that if I had to bank on anybody winning it, I'd say one of the three Penske guys. I'd say it'd either be like Kez, Logano, or Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. What about the other guy? There's one. Oh, it was a Ryan Blaney. I think I'm thinking of. I know. I think of Ryan Blaney.
Kyle Larson's back in a ride this year. Never Kyle know. Larson.
Yeah. No, dude. Penske. Is Hendrick?
He's Hendrick.
He is Hendrick. Yeah. Any Penske and Hendrick car, you cannot go wrong betting. You can't. That's just, they're the cream of the crop. Hendrick Motorsport. I mean, it's just their engines are top.
Or you could go with the Michael Jordan racing team out of North Carolina with Bubba Wallace driving the 23.
Wow, Bubba Wallace 23. I guess the Petties sold off that number.
Eric Jones is driving the 43. I don't know if they might have had 23.
Yeah, because what's Kyle Petty drove that car? I think. Don't quote me on that. I could be 100% wrong. I think Kyle Petty drove the 23 car.
It's hard to remember.
Fucking suck. It is hard
to remember. It's so hard to remember back in the day. I think like Roush Fenway Racing used to be like six because of Mark Martin used to drive that.
Mark Martin, the what do you had, the Miller Lite car?
That was Rusty. Yeah. Rusty Wallace had the two. He had Miller Lite. Mark Martin used to drive like Valvoline.
That's it. Paul Petty car number. Here it is. I'm telling you, it was 23. Okay, I lied. He was 42. Completely lied there.
His dad was 43.
Yes. All right. I was 100% wrong there. There you go. But wasn't the 23 car the Cheerio car? I had this weird image of 23 with Cheerios on the side of it.
I can't remember.
Can't remember? All right. But yeah, you're right. 42, 45, 7, 44, 21, 12, 43, 75. Yeah, Kyle Petty never drove the 23. All right, I was wrong there, guys. I'll own up to that one. I'll dive deeper into it. Let me write that down, too. Because I'm picturing a driver. I vividly remember a 23, and it was a turquoise blue along the side. And I'm pretty sure it was Cheerios on the front. I don't know why. That's just what's calling my brain. Then again, I was just wrong, but Kyle Petty, but who knows? Who fucking knows what my brain's thinking of? But anyway, Mike, real quick. Fuck, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, god damn it, dude. Okay, there it is. I got it back, folks. Did you watch any of the Hall of Fame thing where the guy walked out? What's his name? Walked out and told the people they're in the Hall of Fame and knocked on the doors. Do you watch any of them?
No, I missed that.
No, you missed it? ESPN keeps showing them like random times what he did. Dude, every time I watch the Peyton Manning one, I get fucking chills. Now, it could be 100% scripted, like Peyton Manning probably knew about it.
Oh, but, I didn't know I was making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they had like Tony Dungy out there, had some old players, and they're tall because they acted like he was shooting like a promo at the field. And then it had his players came out, you know, behind him, and they all gave him a speech about how, you know, about him and what he did. And behind, he's facing the people, so behind him, you know, what's his name comes out and gives a speech like, "Thank you, welcome to the Hall of Fame." Dude, I get chills every single fucking time I watch that. Like chills, dude. Like that's just, god damn it, dude. These are like people, like that class is people we grew up watching. I remember when Calvin Johnson got drafted. So my friend hit me up like, dude, Calvin Johnson got drafted to the Lions. Like, it's just, and now they're in the fucking Hall of Fame, dude. God, we're old.
We are very, very old.
Fuck.
I remember, yeah, it's like, you know, some of these guys, sometimes you think, like, what'd you say? You said, like, Matthews is a Hall of Famer?
Clay Matthews? I remember commercials with him. They used to do when he was in the end zone, he did the Clay Matthews thing. Well, it's just, of course, we got his shitty brother. But, but it's just, god, he was like the top of the league, man. Clay Matthews agreed. Oh, my god. It's just, it blows my mind, man. It's just where time has gone. I'm done reminiscing. I can't do it.
That's it.
You wrapping it? You calling it?
I think we're wrapping it up here,
wrapping
folks.
We're wrapping it.
Next week, we'll probably review the Daytona 500. Hopefully, we get some Carson Wentz news this week.
Well, it has to happen before March 13th, I think it is.
March 1st?
I was wrong with March 1st. I think it was March 13th. It's a teen. It's in the teens. 13th.
Well, we need some news fast.
Yes. 100%
fast.
Well, Jalen Hurts is having a camp down in Texas, I think, with all the wide receivers. So that's why Wentz absolutely cannot be back. All the young wide receivers. So Wentz absolutely cannot be back next year. So where is he going to go? Lions? Not Lions. The Colts? The Bears? The sleeper team? The Patriots? He's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Where is he going to land?
So hopefully we know where it is, what we get in return, and where we're going to go from here. As time goes on, we'll get into some more Eagles draft prospects. And probably going to get hot and heavy as spring training starts next week.
Oh, we'll
be reviewing the Daytona 500. Hopefully the Flyers can return to action this week.
Yeah, hopefully.
That'd be nice.
Some more to talk about. Is it wrong for me to say that I've checked out on the Sixers regular season just because it doesn't bother me that they lost because they're going to go to the playoffs and this could be damn, they're going to be damn good in the playoffs?
I am still in on the regular season, and I think we still have to play. We have to play teams at full strength.
I will talk about that next week.
We're going to talk about that.
That's a damn good debate.
I think that's going to be a key topic unless, like, Wentz moves in this week. We're definitely going to have to do, like, big-time Sixers show.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, like, a little, you know, it'd be exciting to have another Flyers outdoor game, even though it's all the way out in Lake Tahoe.
I mean, we could talk about Phillies, who we think the projected starting lineup will be. What, you know what I mean? The batting order. Yeah. That'd be fun. I'm just happy to talk baseball, man. I'm just happy, man. It's just, I cannot wait. I can't wait for baseball. I can't wait to playoff basketball. It just needs to happen, man.
I can't wait for possibly a March Madness tournament. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Shit, dude. We should have a 64. We got to do a field of 64 for that game.
Of course. Of course. No,
I have some other ideas for a field of 64 that I'll hit you up about that I think are actually pretty. I think are actually pretty good, actually.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much. Well, I'll text you about that one because I think we could be on to something with one of them. But yeah.
Folks, that's what we got coming up for next week. This week was just a little show we put together here. We took a trip down memory lane, and as always, everybody, stay safe and wipe your workman. Chris, you got anything in closing?
Yeah, stay degenerate. That's all I got.
That's it, folks. You heard it. See you next week.